Route 616, your home for all things Marvel main continuity. Welcome back, everybody. We are all here once again. Bill's here. The Greenish Goblin Dan is here. And we... I actually looked at your name for once before we were already underway. And we are back with episode 66 of Route 616.
Has it been that
that's
many?
That's a lot of sixes.
Jesus.
It explains half the content we have to cover today.
Yeah, that brings up a Caddyshack joke. 666 times.
I love Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah. So, totally off topic.
And no, we never do that at the start of the show.
No, not at all. I actually had a small epiphany.
You can have those at your age?
Gotta have something at my age. Yeah, welcome to three white guys on a Friday night. How pathetic is this? Seriously, how fucking pathetic is this? But no, it's been a week, and I wanted to cheer myself up. So the other night, I figured I'd put on a comedy. So I was digging through my movies, and I found Da Vinci Code. I figured I'd put that on. It's always good for a giggle. And I was watching this. And the reason I've always found Da Vinci Code so funny is because people took it so serious.
Oh, God, did they ever.
And anybody with even the most basic grade 12 history should be, you know, educated enough to realize it's a load of, you know, that Dan Brown just made 90% of it up. Right. And it makes for a fun little mystery. Right.
It's like I actually enjoyed the Da Vinci Code, but it's not realistic.
No. But the thing was, the first time I read the book, I thought it was kind of fun. I thought it was a fun book. But then I began to, you know, catch up on the fact that a lot of people took this very, very seriously. And while I'm watching the movie, snickering and giggling at Ian McKellen's performance, which was probably the worst performance of his career. And I mean, he's had some bad performances in his career, but he's also had some brilliant ones. This was not his Richard III, trust me. This wasn't even close. But I began to realize a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, took this so seriously that they actually give tours in Europe for people who are trying to find clues to the Holy Grail based on Dan Brown's book. And I was laughing about this. The first time I heard about this, I laughed my ass off. I thought this was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. That people really thought this was real. You know. And then I thought about it and I thought, wait a minute. Right now, there are a lot of MAGA people in the U.S. And I realized, okay, one's begat the other. If they're dumb enough to believe in Dan Brown, they're dumb enough to be sitting there in their trailer, in a trailer park in South Carolina, and write a check to a guy who lives in a gold-plated apartment and craps in a gold toilet. Just, you know, they're dumb enough to send him money. And it finally makes sense.
Just remember what Groucho Marx said. Think about how stupid George Carlin. Think about how stupid the average person is. Then remember, half of them are dumber than that.
Yeah, that's a good point. It really is, because, like I say, I genuinely did enjoy the Da Vinci Code the first time I saw it. I thought it was a great laugh, right? And he put some clever little, you know, additions in there and twists and things, so it's fun. But I mean, it's about as realistic as a James Bond film.
Yeah, it serves the same role.
It is. It's exactly what it is. It's sort of an anti-Bond hero. You know, following some ridiculously contrived, you know, mystery and things like that. And it's very silly, but it's good for a laugh.
It's just fun. Uncharted, but a movie that's actually worth watching.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's like they said before. I think it was an episode of Big Bang where one of the girls points out to the guys that Indiana Jones serves literally no purpose. In the very first movie, Raiders.
He doesn't. It would have played out exactly the same if he wasn't there.
Bingo. Yep. The Nazis would have found the key, dug up the Ark, opened it, and killed themselves. Which is exactly what they did.
Yeah, Indy didn't even trick them into getting melted.
Yeah, he had zero impact on the story. Right. But, you know, it was just a silly adventure. I mean, tonight I'm going to watch Perils of Gwendolyn. See if anybody follows that. Right. Just so you know, anybody out there from the States that's watching this, you need to watch Perils of Gwendolyn, the Land of the Yik Yak. It's based on a true story, I'm sure. You'll love it.
I also watched a comedy this week that was probably not an intentional comedy, but it certainly played out one.
What's that?
Have you guys ever seen Tokyo Gore Police?
Yes.
Oh my God, is that funny? I don't know if it was intended to be funny, but oh my God, is that funny?
Yeah, I have a copy of it, and yes, it was. How many of those, that subgenre, have you actually watched? Because there's a ton of them.
There is, but they don't usually cross the line into hilarity. But once the guy got his legs chopped off and was Iron Manning around on the blood spurs, it's just like...
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
From what I understand, it was intended to be a love letter to the ultra-violent manga of the time.
Yes.
But it's so over the top that it's just a comedy.
Yeah. Now, apparently people in Japan don't admit this whole subgenre exists, but it's huge. Like, it's absolutely a huge thing. Right. Moviegoers love these movies. They are so crazy.
Well, it is. It's a fantastic romp. I mean, it's about as realistic as Da Vinci Code on history, but...
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
Its concept of anatomy comes from the same school.
Yeah, and it doesn't have Paul Bettany playing a bad guy. Right, which is the only thing that saved Da Vinci Code, really, in a lot of ways. Right. But, yeah. So, any bets on who wins tomorrow? Man City or Liverpool? Hmm?
I have an idea, and you're not going to like it.
Uh-oh.
I think it's City.
Yeah.
I think it's City by one.
Well, if the Wolves can beat City, we can beat City.
I think City shows up for the good teams. Sorry, Ryan, but I mean like the top teams.
I think getting beat by the Wolves has pissed them off enough that they're going to fight back.
Yeah, and I think they looked past Wolves and didn't come in prepared. Yeah. Wolves had a good game to beat them. But I think part of it was that they weren't expecting anything.
Yeah. And I think they got mad after that. So we're facing a City team that's feeling very humiliated by their last few games.
You guys have been shaky this year, even though you've had good results on paper. A lot of them were not convincing wins.
Yeah. Although City's been pretty shaky. A 4-4 draw against Chelsea. That's pretty embarrassing too.
Yeah, I'm not super confident on that. Like, it's closer than a lot of years for my confidence on that matchup, but...
But, I mean, that's
I feel like it's City.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping it's going to be Liverpool, obviously.
Yeah.
But I have to agree that I don't think our chances are that good. Right now, we play Man U in December, I think in 2 weeks or something.
That's going to be a massacre. And not one that I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah, well, they're coming to Anfield, so.
Yeah, I think you guys probably win that one by 3 or 4.
Well, we don't want to lose it.
No.
In the same respect that City wants to win tomorrow, we really want to win against Man U.
Yeah, you guys never want to lose to United at Anfield. Same as we never want to lose to you at Trafford.
Yeah, at Old Trafford, yeah. Although you do a good job of losing to us at Old Trafford.
It happens, but we never want it to.
Yeah, but you did such a good job of it last year. Twice. Just saying.
Yeah. Did we play you at Old Trafford twice last year?
Well, maybe it was. No, it was the year before.
I think it was only once, because we never got you in any cups or anything.
Yeah, the last 4 years we beat you at Old Trafford.
Yes. You guys have been dominating that matchup lately, but
I think we've won 7 out of 8 of the last meetings, so
yeah
so
Who's keeping track anyway?
I know. Dan. I mean, I don't want to talk about the fact that Darwin Núñez alone has more goals and assists than the entire front line of Man U this year.
I mean, just bragging about having more goals than Man U this year isn't exactly a high point. Wolves with no striker have more goals than Man U this year.
I know, right? You're allowed to gloat, Ryan, because he's actually telling the truth.
Yeah, this is not me being doomer. That's a literal stat.
Missing a striker for like 3 years and
still outdoing Man U.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Like, no one knows where the fucking net is located in Man U. It's not even like these are, we get good shots that get saved.
I know. Yeah, you got Rashford's.
Rashford's just falling apart.
But the thing is, it's a sin because Rashford has the potential to be one of the best strikers in the league.
He does.
He's such a good player. Oh my God, he's so good. But he's nobody there to support him. Because Bruno's not helping him out at all.
Well, the whole we don't have a team. We have 11 individuals on the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them are very talented, but they don't play as a team.
Yeah. So something else I wanted to bring up, because I noticed I was flipping through Facebook out of sheer boredom the other day at work, and just going through the news feed, and I picked up on something. They were talking about Marvel being inclusive, but I don't think they are, and I'm surprised Bill didn't pick up on this. And
I don't go on Facebook ever, so.
Okay.
Well, I only have it for messaging.
Okay, so you haven't seen the new Marvels movie yet?
No.
The Marvels.
I'm probably actually going for it tomorrow.
Okay, well, I should warn you now so that you don't get too offended. There are a lot of cats in this film. A lot of cats. And no dogs. No dogs. And Disney claims to be inclusive, but there's no dogs. This is just, I'm so offended by this.
I can support this, Disney.
I thought you were going to like a movie with a lot of pussy.
I do? Wrong kind of movie, wrong kind of pussy. Okay.
I thought you'd spend your weekends that way.
Let's go to a different subculture in Japan. Yeah, the Japanese naughty nun movies? Woo! You gonna be okay there, buddy?
Oh,
they're not.
Might have an appearance by a flirkin.
I'm still mad about that.
Bill is a dog person; should be offended by this. Yeah. Right, so I'm thinking a strongly worded letter to Disney about the lack of dogs in the film.
If you don't put dogs in your next movie, you're gonna have to start watching The Critical Drinker.
Okay, let's not get. You know, steady on.
Yeah, let's not get carried away.
Right? Let's stick to entertainment. You know. But anyway, so that's all my bullshit for this week.
Carry on, my wayward son.
Yeah, that's all my bullshit. Sorry. Your turn, Bill. Go ahead. Make Ryan's life miserable. You can. I know you can do it.
Wolves suck.
Seen any good movies lately? So, Ryan, have you seen any good movies? Never mind. Of course you haven't. Of course you haven't.
No, but I think now the last thing I watched was Silence of the Lambs. So
actually, yes.
Okay, that's a good movie. That is a moment.
I guess we haven't talked about that on here, so I guess that is technically...
Who directed that? Rennie Harlan?
Oh, God, I have no clue. I rarely pay attention to directors unless they're extremely famous.
David Lean. Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg. Ron Howard. Steven Spielberg. And some people seem to think James Cameron, too.
Jonathan Demme.
He has directed some good stuff, but I don't think it was because he was directing.
Yeah, Jonathan Demme.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a great job with that movie. That was really good.
It was just totally not a sequel. So
the sequel's not awful.
No, I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Hannibal isn't terrible, but it's not the same. It's just not anywhere near as good.
It kind of cheapens Hannibal Lecter as a character, just because you see too much of him.
Yeah, quite a lot.
Yeah, like,
but
he's Red not Dragon. Horribly written, but the best thing about Silence of the Lambs is how little you actually see him.
Yeah. Yeah, and Hannibal Rising's just pathetic. God, it's just, oh, it's so bad.
Hannibal Rising was horrible.
It was a tragedy that it got made. But anyway,
I feel like a lot of those sequels, they didn't understand why he worked in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And I'm going to watch Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. The first two episodes are out, so I'm going to watch them. Right, for any of you Godzilla fans out there. I hear it's really good, so.
Should be. It's either going to be awesome or just a huge disappointment.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be good because they are trying so hard. Godzilla Minus One or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
The new Godzilla movie coming out. That looks epic. Absolutely.
There's
epic.
Been a lot of pretty good Godzilla stuff lately.
Yeah. So.
The last few movies have gotten back to like classic Godzilla feeling.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I enjoyed that they killed the shitty, like, turn of the Millennium Godzilla in, like, 3 seconds in one of them.
Oh, thank God. Yes.
They made a canon just to kill it in, like, 3 seconds. I can't remember if it was 99 or 2000. That's why I just said turn of the Millennium.
98,
99, I think.
It was 99 because it was the year I was born.
Okay. Yeah, it was just, oh, God. Oh, God, it was so bad.
People thought it was good, but that's because it was hard to get actual Godzilla movies at that time.
Well, I know I went to see it and came away from it just devastated at what they'd done to Godzilla.
Yeah, anyone who's seen Godzilla hated it, but everyone who hadn't seen Godzilla thought it was great. Just because it's like when CGI was coming out and you had a big CGI monster smashing stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I've lost your feed. I can hear you, but I can't see you.
I can see everyone still, so it's probably just on
you. Can you see him, Ryan?
I can see Bill, but Bill's been fuzzy the whole time for me, so I'm hoping it comes
back.
It's probably
back just the Wi-Fi. Yeah, probably just the Wi-Fi. So shall we actually do what we're here to do?
I suppose we can. I mean, it's all Captain America. Does it really matter?
Nobody cares. Let's just end the podcast now. Move on.
Yeah, anyways, next week we'll be
gonna shitty wrestling to get back to.
Oh, hey, there you go.
So today it is all Captain America all the time. We're going to cover Tales of Suspense, issues number 71 through 76, the B stories. And we're going to start
because
off with number 71.
You.
Yes. We don't like to grow audiences here. We like to scare them away.
With our anti-audience repulsor beams.
Stick around to the end. There is
but
a little something worth
Giant
being
Man
here
today.
For.
Really? Captain America is that much of a step up? Really?
Yeah, enough.
You
enough
think
of
so?
One. Enough of one. Anyways, just Suspense number 71 Beast Story, titled When You Lie Down with Dogs. Written by Stan Lee, art by Jack Kirby and
Stan
George Jessica.
There's your Marvel dog right there.
You lie down with dogs, you get up with Stan Lee. Okay, we're good. I think I broke Ryan again.
Joe Sano on inks, Jack Kirby and Wally Wood on the cover art, Sam Rosen on letters, August 1965 release date. This is a 10-page story, and I will take this one away. Relatively quickly, too, because it's a small synopsis.
Oh, good, good.
Continue from the last issue, because this is the ending part of the story we started last episode, and we're not going to talk about what happened, so go watch last episode if you really want to know.
Nobody cares.
Captain America, yeah, I mean, you don't have to, but I mean, go give us a few if you want. Captain America, Bucky, Celia, and Dr. Rollins are prisoners of an army of Nazis that are planning to launch a V2 rocket on British soil from within Greymoor Castle, targeted at London in hopes of destroying the Allies' leader. Being taken to their cells, Captain America and Bucky manage to break free and rescue Celia. The three go to rescue her brother, Dr. Rollins, who helped the Nazis and now has become their prisoner as well because he had served their purpose. However, in freeing Rollins, his sister inhales a lethal dose of gas and dies. Is that how it actually went? I thought she got stabbed or something.
Stabby, stabby?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Nazis tried to shoot him and she took the bullet. But yeah, then Stan wrote something about it being a gas canister to knock him out because you're not allowed to show people getting shot at this point in the comic code.
Oh, yeah, that's probably why. When stopping the Nazi leader from launching a rocket, Rollins sacrifices his life to stop the Nazis, and Greymoor Castle is destroyed as well. Meanwhile, back in France, the attack on Nazi forces there were turned back by Sergeant Duffy's squad, even though they believed that Steve Rogers had deserted them. And that's that. Wow.
Yep. Short and sweet, like me.
A pretty lackluster issue. After some decent setup, I gave this one a 2.
Yeah, it eked out a 3 for me, but I think at this point they had decided to pivot back to the modern day. So that's why everything's just like, hurry up and get it crammed in there and finish everything up.
Just a side note here for Bill. There are other numbers out there than 3.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch.
There are, but not usually for mid-comics.
By the way, don't worry. You may have thought that Cedric Rollins died, but he returns in a later issue of Captain America.
Oh, what a giveaway.
It's probably a retelling of this story.
Spoiler warning.
Not the way this is worded, but anyways.
Okay, I haven't read that one yet because it's from.
Well, I didn't say the 81. Number just to be. Yeah, you're not quite there yet. So that was the first one. Like I said, 2 for me. Not really that good. Bill has lower standards. No.
Honestly, yes. With these, I'm more. I think I'm more able to adjust to the Silver Age style than you are.
Can we just not even bring up standards doing this podcast? Right? It's just not a good idea. Just
some of us have standards. We don't rope for Liverpool.
Oh. Well.
I just wish you were a Palace supporter so I could really hit you with that line.
No, okay. Does Palace have supporters?
I mean, there's seriously? Some rich assholes in London who like them.
Yeah. Okay. If you say so.
But back to focus. The one thing this issue did that I liked was have the Nazis when Rollins was still trying to be on their side and like talking about everything he had done for them. They're just like, you've already betrayed one country. Why do we think you're not going to betray us, too? I like it when the villains are a little bit intelligent.
Yeah.
Valid.
Because he didn't even have a good reason for betraying the Allies. It was just, I'm mad at the world. I'm going to side with the Nazis now.
It didn't make me a popular scientist. Anyways. Number 72 is Tales of Suspense, The Beast Story. This one's titled The Sleeper Shall Awake. Written by Stan Lee, art by Jack Kirby and George Tuska. Cover art by Jack Kirby, Sam Rosen on letters. September 1965, release date, a 10-page story. And I will also take this one. We are back to the modern day, folks.
Relatively speaking.
Captain America has just finished telling his fellow Avengers, Quicksilver, Hawkeye, and Scarlet Witch, of his World War II adventure in Greymoor Castle. So they say that he was telling stories. So that's what this all was, the flashbacks, pretty much.
Yeah, they retconned the entire World War II run to be a story told to the other Avengers.
Yeah, tying up all the loose ends of that tale for them. Not all, really, but whatever. Such as the fact that Allied intelligence arranged. Oh, yeah, they do cover it. They do actually.
There is a throwaway line, but it doesn't assuage my complaints from the last episode that I wanted to see it actually play out.
Yeah. Such as the fact that Allied intelligence arranged a cover story that Steve Rogers was ordered away from his unit to alert Captain America of the threat at Greymoor before retiring for the night. So that's how he got away from seeming like he deserted the crew. That evening, Cap's memories drift back to World War II and to his final battle against the Red Skull, where the Skull had supposedly died in a cave in his secret... in a secret bunker of his, but not before warning Cap about Der Tag, German for the day, a date 20 years after the wars and where three Nazi sleeper agents would be awoken to start the Third Reich once more. Realizing that he thought of this because the date has actually come in the past, Cap recalls the metal box he took from the Red Skull during that battle. Recovering it, he finds inside a list naming the three Nazi sleeper agents. In Gortman, where the first of these sleepers are supposed to be, Von Kimmer has hired men to release the first of three sleeper robots from an artificial boulder covering a hole in the hill. After the rush of air activates the sleeper, it begins smashing its way across the Bavarian countryside. Captain America arrives just in time to see the robot smash through a village. Attempting to stop the giant robot, Cap soon finds his weapons and skill have no effect on the giant robot. Cap ends up following the robot, while elsewhere in the town of Telbeck, the second agent, Erica Wolfen, is arranging to have the second sleeper robot reactivate it. The end.
Sorry, Bill and I are friggin' trashing each other. When you're happily reading that, Bill and I are just spamming the crap.
I don't know about happily. That was pretty painful.
So you know how you were talking about there being other numbers, Dan?
Yes, dear. Yeah, 7 is a number. 7.
So is 2, which 7. Is what I gave this comic. You think this is a 7-star comic? Wow, you
Yeah, absolutely.
You were one to talk about standards.
I have no standards.
It's funny that this is the one Bill gives a 2, but I gave this one a 3. So we completely switched. And technically, yeah. I'm more on the right because this one has the higher average rate.
Yeah, no, I admit that like a lot of my 2 was based on not liking the concept of this.
You don't like the tag?
I don't like Nazi Megazords being woken up after 20 years.
I'm a Power Rangers fan, so I guess I'm okay. Go, go, Nazi Rangers! Boo, 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 boo.
Don't look at where some of the original Power Rangers ended up, because that's more accurate than you think.
Yeah. Yeah. And not pretty.
This story was fine, but I couldn't like it. It was doing a lot of stuff that's more modern than the previous Cap stories, with like telling a more involved story. But I didn't care. Was I actually interested in the Nazis that
the
were
story,
like half the story was the Nazi agents, and I didn't care.
It's not really an interesting story. Part of it for me, why I like this, is it's taking steps in the right direction of getting us back to the present.
Yeah.
Telling fresh,
and it's telling a more modern story. Like, we're actually seeing the villains do stuff instead of just being told they did it and then seeing the heroes just go stop it.
Hmm. So, that's kind of... Boring issue, really.
Yeah, it's definitely moving in the right direction, but I was not entertained by it.
Real.
Fair enough. I kind of like the... I didn't mind the look of the sleeper in this one, the first sleeper, but once they start combining and shit, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah. The first sleeper was a pretty decent mid-60s robot.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I can work with this. And then they started adding different designs.
Yeah, but having read the entire Silver Age and 90% of the Golden Age, I've learned to not judge the quality of a comic by the way the robot or monster looks in it.
Yeah.
Because they're all universally terrible.
You know I'm wrong.
Anyways, I think that's good for that one. So let's get into number 73, Beast Story, which is Where Walks the Sleeper?
Yeah.
This one has a very nice average rating. Written by Stan Lee, of course, Jack Kirby, George Susko on arts, Gene Colan on the cover, Artie Simic on letters, October 1965 release date, 10-page story, and Dan will take this one away.
And away we go.
Dirt Hog.
Dirt Hog. Where walks a sleeper? While Captain America follows the first of three sleeper robots woken by the Nazi sleeper agents. The second sleeper one, a giant sleeper manta-shaped flying machine, is awoken in the town of Tel Bek by the second sleeper agent, who is killed in the explosion that frees the second sleeper. After trying to stop the second sleeper, this is getting irritating, sleeper, he finds it is also impervious to his attacks. Cap then opts to hitch a ride on the flying machine as it combines with the first sleeper robot and flies off to meet the third and final sleeper. As Captain America is forced to jump off the flying combination of the first and second sleepers due to an attack by NATO aircraft, the third sleeper agent secures the device needed to awake the third and final sleeper robot. I'm sensing a theme.
Yeah.
There you go. We're done. That's it. Can I go home now?
No.
Damn it.
I will say the second sleeper is the coolest looking one.
Yeah. Okay.
As soon as it gets the first one strapped onto it, it looks terrible. But when it's just like a big fighter craft basically flying around, it looks decent.
Flying wing. Because that's all it really is. It's just a flying wing.
Yeah.
I think a robot becomes a little bit overpowered when it can suddenly fly too. But that's just me.
I mean, that is kind of the point of these stories, that the thing is ridiculously overpowered.
Yeah, it is, but then it kind of gets... Maybe the story should have been longer if they were going to... Because then they just have to rush to fucking defeat the problem, so... But anyways...
Yeah, they haven't gotten pacing down yet, but I'm glad it's only 3 issues for this arc.
Me too, because this isn't that good. I give this one a 2.
So did I. Really, the fact that the second sleeper looked decent was the only good thing I could say about it. While the first one had somewhat interesting storytelling in getting there, this is like 8 out of the 10 pages are just Captain America ineffectively fighting the thing or following it.
Yeah. With the word sleeper thrown in a couple of thousand times.
Yeah. Well, before the story arc puts us to sleep, let's get to the last part of it. Number 74, Beast Story. Oh, look at the title of this one, The Final Sleep.
Spoiler, it's not. I can think of at least 2 more sleepers that turn up in the future.
Thank you, Bill. That's going to really entice people to want to stick around.
Written by Stan Lee.
Both those are better stories than this one.
Written by Stan Lee, art by Jack Kirby and George Susko. Cover art by Jack Kirby, Artie Simic on letters, November 1965 release date, 10-page story, and Dan Wells to take us through this one.
Alrighty. The final sleep. Captain America has been attempting to stop 2 sleeper robots from reaching a third sleeper that has just been activated.
AKA the worst sleeper.
The worst sleeper. The third is the dumbest.
Yeah. Along the way, he was forced to jump off the flying sleepers when they came under attack by NATO planes. At the NATO base, Cap explains the situation is released by General Logan, and Cap begins working with NATO to try and find a way to destroy the robots. Meanwhile, the sleepers have found their third counterpart, a giant head in the shape of the Red Skull. Oh my gosh, I never saw that coming. With this final device...
They have to tell us it looks like the Red Skull because nowhere in the art does it actually look like him.
No, it doesn't actually look like it, so...
Oh, okay.
It's just a robot head. That's part of why it's so dumb.
God.
Because they're like, it looks like the Red Skull, and it's gray and looks nothing like him.
I actually did not know that's what it was supposed to be until you just said that right now.
They say it in the comic. They're like, it's a head. It must be supposed to be the Red Skull.
Obviously, I blew past that line.
It's Agent
it's
Smith.
So dumb.
Yeah. With this final device, it plots a course to the North Pole, where it is programmed to fire a blast deep into the planet's core and cause the entire Earth to explode.
Yeah, the head is also a giant bomb, and they just conclude that it's going to go to the North Pole for some reason and then burrow into the ground and blow up the giant bomb, and this will destroy the planet.
Yeah, because then the polarity of the Earth will be missed. Ooh.
Okay.
I've read this comic twice. I still have no clue why they had to go to the North Pole instead of just burrowing around Germany.
Something about the moon.
Yeah, but it's the same distance to the core of the Earth, no matter where you are on it. It's a sphere.
Maybe Stan didn't think so.
Stan definitely didn't think so, but...
Yeah. Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
For this is a thrilling conclusion?
Yeah.
And it is thrilling.
Oh, it is.
I'm thrilled
it's over.
Journey on this flat Earth.
Yeah. Being flown to the spot, Cap is dropped down on the third sleeper with a flamethrower, which he uses to damage the device, causing it to crash into the ocean and explode, saving the world from destruction. Okay.
That was pretty easy.
Thank God it's over.
Yeah.
Is it over? Is it over?
That arc is over, yes.
Oh, thank God. So I hear the word sleeper one more time, I'm going to puke.
I gave this one 2-2. I don't have a positive to say about this issue. I hated this issue.
Yeah, I gave this a 2 as well. This arc for me was decent start. Immediately.
Yeah, I despised the entire thing.
Literally each issue got worse.
The first time I read it, I struggled so hard to keep going, and I really didn't want to read more Cap when I saw 2 more issues coming up. But fortunately, I actually liked those ones.
Okay. As we'll soon talk about.
Yeah.
When we go right into Tales of Suspense number 75. What a number, by the way. The B story. 30 Minutes to Live, this one's titled. Stanley Wrighton, Jack Kirby, and Dick Ayres on the art. John Tartaglione on inks. Gene Colan on the cover. Artie Simic on letters. December 1965 release date. See me. 10-page story. And Bill will take this away.
Yes, and I will try to stop looking at the cover as soon as possible because I have thoughts, but they're Iron Man related thoughts.
Really?
Oh, I hate that character.
Yes, and we have to catch up on Iron Man.
Yeah. Anyway, Captain America has successfully destroyed the 3 sleeper robots reactivated by Nazi sleeper agents. Got to get those sleeps in early before we switch to leaps. Yeah. As Cap plummets into the ocean, in New York City, a secret group plots to get a highly explosive chemical called Inferno 42, which is in the possession of S.H.I.E.L.D. Meanwhile, Cap is rescued by some Navy men and is brought back home, where he reflects on his past and laments over the loss of his partner Bucky and how out of time he feels after being in suspended animation for so long. Assuming his civilian guise, he spots a woman who he seems to recall from his World War II days. While trying to figure out if it is really the mysterious woman from his past or not, he notices somebody bumping into her and doing a switch with the package she is carrying for an identical one. Cap soon finds himself caught up in the middle of the S.H.I.E.L.D. plan to secretly transport Inferno 42 through New York City, and his interference has alerted the evil scientist's hired man, Batroc the Leaper, onto the switch-up. However, while clashing with Captain America when trying to get the woman's package, the two accidentally crack the canister, causing the Inferno 42 inside to become active. The woman, however, manages to make her escape while the two men fight it out. Informing Cap that the device could destroy all of New York, they missed a part because they don't ever say who informed. It's Batroc. Batroc says that since it's... I'm going to summarize this myself because this sentence is horrible. Batroc informs Captain America that if the device starts glowing, it's cracked and it's going to explode in half an hour and vaporize all of New York, so they have to get it back. So they team up to go get the device and try to stop it from exploding. And that's where we're left off from this one.
I like this.
Yeah, this is really good. I love that Captain America basically doesn't do anything until page 8. It's all Steve Rogers. I think that's one of the reasons this one was so much better than the last three, where it was just Cap doing stuff all the time.
And this is a really good introduction for Batroc and Agent 13, which isn't used yet as the name, I don't think.
No, but it's Sharon Carter.
Yeah.
I don't really count this as the good introduction for Batroc, because he's barely in this one, and they don't quite have his characterization down yet. Like, here, it's still like they're trying to write an actual French accent. By the next issue, he's clearly faking it.
Yeah. Well,
he is definitely putting on a French accent and not very good at it.
I'm pretty much just... I'm kind of throwing them together when I say good introduction, because this he is pretty fun from the start, really.
Oh yeah, he's fine here, but he really becomes my boy in the next issue.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move on to number 76 B story. This one's titled "The Gladiator, The Girl, and the Glory." Stan Lee writes this. John Romita Sr.'s on art, apparently. I didn't even realize.
That's why the art is so different from the previous issues.
So much better.
Not only better, but different. Like, Cap's whole build is different.
Yeah. I probably should have picked up on that while reading it, because I did notice the art was different. I just didn't realize who I was looking at, but I probably should have known.
I think that it's not really in line with his later Spider-Man art. It's very different from that.
Jack Kirby's on the cover here. Artie Simic Gun Letters. January 1966, release date, Happy New Year. A 10-page story, and Bill will take this one away as well.
All right. Captain America has gotten himself involved in a S.H.I.E.L.D. operation to exchange the volatile chemical Inferno 42, which has gotten him into a conflict with Batroc the Leaper, who seeks to obtain the chemical for his employers. During their combat, they've accidentally exposed the chemical to the air, causing it to become active, and the female S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, who resembles somebody from Cap's past, has run off with it, unaware that it will soon explode with enough force to destroy all of New York City. During her escape, the girl is soon weakened from exposure to Inferno 42, and Batroc and Cap manage to catch up to her. Batroc and Cap fight over the possession of the chemical, and Batroc manages to obtain it himself. However, when he brings it back to his employers, who encase the cylinder in a container that would make it dormant again, Cap arrives and battles Batroc to the point where Batroc and his employers make a grand escape. Rushing back to the girl, he finds that she is being carried away in an ambulance for treatment, where she tells Cap that their mission was a success because when Cap and Batroc were fighting, she managed to switch the cylinder of Inferno 42 with a fake. They don't quite present that right, because Cap knew that at the time. It's not revealed to the reader of the comic, but Cap knew it was a fake, because Stan was patting himself on the back for, I bet you're wondering why Cap isn't going after the Inferno 42, aren't you? Don't worry, all will be revealed in time.
Hello?
Classic Dan.
Just leaves.
Anyways, I gave that one a 3 as well.
I gave it a 3. It probably, the first half was heading towards a 4 before Stan bungled the finish.
Yeah.
Because the summary didn't really capture it. But Batroc, in the end of the previous issue, knew the Inferno 42 was going to explode, and he wanted to help Cap make it dormant. Halfway through this issue, they forget that, and he's just stealing it and bringing it back to them again.
Yeah. I'd also like to... There was a sub-story going on here where Cap kept having flashbacks to this girl he used to love, which ends up being Peggy Carter. And yeah. Then when he sees this new girl, it reminds her of Peggy, and that's because it ends up being Sharon, as we already revealed.
Yeah,
so
although her relationship
kind of
is probably quite different from what modern readers know, because they do reveal that at this point, she is Peggy's sister.
Yeah, it's sister. At this time.
Keep it in the family.
Instead of niece.
She becomes her niece very quickly, but at this point, she's her sister. Because we're still close enough to World War II for her to have a sister like 15 years younger than her.
Steve, a freak.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all set up for, I think it's the next issue of Cap.
Them Carter girls.
I think it's literally the next issue of Cap is another World War II story that goes into him meeting Peggy.
Probably.
Because that's what they're setting up. They definitely teased that it's the next issue at the end of this one. I don't remember if it ends up being the next issue or if they do another modern story with the people who hired Batroc first. I can't remember where that one-off fits.
I don't know. I haven't read any more yet, so.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the Captain America comics. So
the saga continuums.
At least it ended on a high note.
Yeah, they're definitely getting
worse.
They're figuring out how to do modern storytelling.
Pedantic. Tedious. Pick a word. Come on.
French.
Play the game with me. Pointless?
Anyways.
2X4B. What a jerky middle name.
So we kind of forgot that we should have done our end of the month stuff this week, so.
Yeah, oh shit, yeah, that was this week.
We can either do it next week or just scratch it for the stretch and bring it back for December.
Scratch it. Or do it next week because I'll probably be working, so.
Yeah, we can do it next week because
it's more full 2 months that way if we do it next week, so it'll just be a 2 month special extra one, whatever.
And that'll give me a chance to actually be prepared for it.
Yeah, that's what we'll do then. Speaking of next week, what we're actually covering will be Strange Tales, bum bum bum. We're in the Doctor Strange stretch, or the start
this
of it
Doctor
at least.
Strange. This is S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, this is S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm confusing my shit now. We start with S.H.I.E.L.D. and go in the Doctor Strange stretch. We get the next four issues of S.H.I.E.L.D. here. Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. with issues 142 through 145 A stories to kind of pick up where we left off with the that shitty fill-in and then go to some other stuff.
So in the end, is it S.H.I.E.L.D. shit or a Strange stretch?
Yes.
And then we
we finally start off what's gonna. I'm just ignoring it. We're gonna finally start off what's gonna be a big Doctor Strange stretch that goes over the next few episodes, with issues 130 and 131 B stories. And get your seatbelts strapped and get ready to go, because we're about to have a huge ass Doctor Strange stretch.
Yeah,
it's gonna go where you're gonna have Doctor Strange each episode of December, assuming we have an episode each week of December.
Are we gonna come up with some kind of bullshit for a Christmas special?
Maybe, but we can discuss that off the air.
Okay, I'm just wondering if we can come up with something incredibly pointless and
see. We don't have to do a week with Doctor Strange comics. Is that what you're trying to get at?
No, I'm just afraid you guys are going to sabotage me with some Spider-Man crap at some point before the year is over.
I don't think there's any good Spider-Man holiday stuff, so.
Oh, thank God.
There is a Spider-Man holiday comic, but it's way later and quite terrible.
I was not thinking of comics, so. Well, I mean, we could watch the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, I suppose. I'd prefer to watch that in order, though, but. There's always the Star Wars one.
No.
Please, no. Ryan would like it, because it's awesome. No,
I know. I've actually seen it. I did not like it.
We could cover Blackadder. He does a holiday special. Yeah. Right, there's.
Blackadder is a British comedy.
I actually knew that.
Have you ever seen it?
No, of course not. I don't watch British shows.
It burns. It burns. Bill, it's a sin.
Where did we go wrong as parents?
I know, right? Right? So much for being a good influence on them. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll head out for this week and hopefully you guys tune in next week, though. I guess we wouldn't blame you after this one.
After this episode is over, Ryan will curl up into a little ball and try and figure out, you know, where he went wrong with his life choices.
And then he'll watch Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll comfort watch it over and over. But he'll change it up at Monster House.
I was just going to say that. Or something. Anyways.
I'm sure there's a Scooby-Doo Christmas special out there for you somewhere.
But that would actually be good. I'm not roasting anyone for watching Scooby-Doo unless it's Velma. Because that show was terrible.
Oh my God, that was so bad. So
anyway, guys, if you enjoyed this one and are on YouTube, please leave a like, subscribe, comment, and even share if you would like to. We're also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you're on Spotify, let us know why you love the sleepers. And
alliteration.
I was going to say, pick which sleeper was the best.
And hopefully you get your final sleep.
Who cares? Who fucking cares?
Anyways, we will see you all in the next episode. Possibly not Dan after this one. And
maybe never again. Not after this crap. God. At least it was a Spider-Man.
Have a good one, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.